2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll begin reading at verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. As we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this new year that we have, Lord. We look at it a year of new possibilities, of just thinking of what you can do in us and through us and amongst us, Lord. We just pray you would help us as we start this new year, that we would start it off right and that we would continue doing right, Lord, throughout the year. Pray that you would continue to bless us as individuals and as a church, and just bless now as we look into your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And as believers, we have been recipients of the abundant grace of God. If we want to define what grace is, we think, well, mercy is when we don't receive what we deserve. That if we're guilty of a crime and yet we aren't punished for it, that's mercy. And we realize that's what the Lord gave us when, even though all of us are sinners, that when we trust Christ as Savior, that we don't have to face the punishment of hell because of what he did on the cross. But grace, we understand to be one step further, where it is receiving what we don't deserve at all. And that's the thought that we have in our salvation, is not only did he say, well, you don't have to go to hell, but to allow us to be with him in eternity in heaven is his grace. And the thought that not only are we forgiven, but now he has adopted us as his children. That we who are sinners, that now he says, well, I want you to be my representatives on this earth. I want you to be my witnesses, my ambassadors to the lost world that's around us. That is something that we can testify, as Paul did, that the grace of God was exceeding abundant to usward. That and that's something that we see through the scriptures, how amazing the grace of God is, how abundant it is. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. But we see in this verse, in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. And we wonder what that means in that thought, that we would receive the grace of God, all this love, all this many blessings that we do not deserve, that we would receive it in vain. And it's something that we understand, that the Lord refers to us as stewards, as ones that are entrusted with the management of the affairs of another, that the Lord gives us so many things in this world, and he entrusts them to our care, and it is up to us to be faithful in being stewards of that. If you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, we see this idea elaborated upon. First Peter 4 and verse 10, it says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And it's a thought that as the Lord has given us different gifts, specifically different spiritual gifts, that we're to minister the same one to another, that we're good stewards of what the Lord has given us. We use it wise, we use it for his glory. We see this principle given in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2, where it says, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That the Lord entrusts us with something, and we will give an account of that. We think of the parable of the talents, where these ones were given these talents, and the Lord said, well, occupy till I come. And they came back, and they had to give an account of what they did with what the Lord had given them. And if they had done well, that the Lord honored them, said, well done, good and faithful servant. And with the one that was not faithful, he said, thou wicked and slothful servant. And so we understand that principle of us being stewards. And we see from the testimony of Paul, if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, that he testifies of how great the grace of God was, that he was before a persecutor and injurious, he was a blasphemer, but yet the Lord was merciful to him. The Lord showed grace and put him into the ministry. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, Paul speaks, says, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And so we see that he made sure that he did not, the grace that God had bestowed upon him was not in vain. And he says here in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 1 that his workers together with him, that he beseeched you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. And so it is something that we want to realize that it is possible to do so. It is something that we want to be wary of, that we want to understand what He expects of us, what His desire is, the grace that He has bestowed upon us, what we are to do with it. We think, first of all, of the spiritual gifts that He has given each and every one of us as believers, that they are to be used for the edification of the body of Christ as a whole. And so we are to seek to minister according to those gifts that God has given. 1 Peter 4:11 says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That we realize that any spiritual gift or any talent that we have, it comes from the Lord. He's given it to us for a reason. And it's we understand to whom much is given, much shall be required. That we can say, well, I don't have many talents, and say, well, that's not something to be ashamed of. It's something you use the talents that you have, and the Lord will keep us accountable for using what we have. And it's not something that we think, well, I don't have much, so I can't use it. It's a thought the Lord wants to use it, whatever it is. And we want to be faithful in that. We also have the understanding with the money that the Lord gives us, the riches and the wealth of this world. We realize all of it comes from Him, that really all of it belongs to Him. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. But He puts it in our hands, and He wants us to be responsible with how we use it, how it is distributed from our hands. And so we want to be wise in that. But I think probably the most precious resource and the most limited resource really that we have on this world is time. And that's what we see in verse 2 of 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's kind of the thing that we think of with, if we work hard and we have funds that we can give to someone that need it, if those funds are depleted, well, we can just go out and work, and then we can get more funds, and we can help someone else. But it's a thought with time that when it runs out, you can't go to a bank and get more time. There's no way that you can add another hour to the day, even another second to the 24 hours that we have. That it is not something that our life is like an hourglass that you can just flip over and you can start over and you're renewed. It's the thought that 24 hours a day is all we get, and we only get 365 days a year, and we don't know how many years we will have in this life. And sometimes we think, well, like especially when we're young, we think, well, we're going to live forever, that we've got all this time on our hands, but we never really understand how short our time is in comparison to eternity. And so we want to realize that the time that we have that the Lord has given us is our most precious resource. That in the psalm that we read this morning of Psalm 90, of how how Moses said that the days of our years are 80, and if they be 80, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, we soon are cut off and we fly away. And he said, well, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. That it's something that God wants us to understand, that the time that he has given us is something that's precious, that it is not to be wasted, it is not to be squandered, it is to be used for his glory. We see in 1 Peter chapter 1, if you turn there with me, 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, says, as wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And verse 17, and if ye call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed from corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That we understand that our time on earth, it's a sojourning, that it's not a very long time, that this world is not our home, that we are strangers and pilgrims upon this earth. And so we need to realize how short our time is. And we recognize that the devil wants us to be wasteful of our time. He knows that he himself has a short time, and he realizes how short our time is, and so he's making the most of our time, and he wants us to make the least of ours. And I believe it's the devil's hope. He wants to draw us as Christians into a mindset of complacency, of slumber, and of apathy, so that while we sleep, then he can work. And that's something that we realize, that the devil and his forces are always at work amongst this world, and that as Christians we need to be sober and vigilant. The devil is a thief, that he wants to rob us of our joy, he wants to rob us of our peace, and I think that he wants to rob us of the time that we have to minister to him. That he wants us to procrastinate, he wants to get our lives so wrapped up in the things of this world that we don't have time for what's truly important until it's too late. He wants us to think that we have lots of time, that we realize that there's things that the Lord calls us to do, whether it's to spend time with our family, whether it's time to pray, time to share the gospel with someone. We think, well, there will always be a tomorrow. I'll start that tomorrow. Kind of the thing that we have this time of year. We have New Year's resolutions, and it's usually something that either we break right away, or we mean to, but we never get around to doing it. And that the Lord wants us to get on that, but I think the devil wants to hold us back and keep us from that, to get us to procrastinate. Because as long as we do, then he is able to work while we sleep. And so that is why we see in Ephesians chapter 5 that we are to redeem the time. If you turn with me there to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. That we realize that there is much that is going on, that there is much that can waste our time, that we realize how precious our time is, and that we would use it so that it would count for eternity. That we realize that the grace of God has been given to us for a reason, and that we're to fulfill a ministry in the Lord because of the grace of God. We see in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." And so that is what He desires of us, that we have received the grace of God, and it is for a purpose, that we would be His witnesses, that we would become like Him, that He would use us to be witnesses for Him to a lost and dying world. And so it is something that we must respond, that we know what He would have us to do as believers, and the Holy Spirit calls us to a devout and a holy life, to a serious faith, and so we must respond. And as we see in this passage where the Lord says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." We think of the words of Felix when Paul preached to him, that he said, "Well, come back, and when I have a convenient time, then I will call for thee." And it's so easy to get that, well, this is something that the Lord might have me to do, but I am going to wait for a more convenient time. And when I do that, sometimes it gets to be that there never becomes a convenient time, and we find that years have passed and we haven't progressed in our walk as the Lord would have us to do. And so we want to see as Christians that we need to get a sense of urgency when it comes to time, when it comes to what the Lord would have us do in our lives. First reason why we need to get a sense of urgency, because we don't know how long or short our time may be. That sometimes we think we have a great deal of time, then sometimes we find things happen and we don't have that time anymore. That we can expect that our life will be a certain duration, but things can be cut short quite quickly. And so we want to make sure that we're ready. We don't want to find out that we have but a short time and that we squandered the time that we have. It's kind of the thought that you think of a person that gets a diagnosis that they have cancer and that they only have, say, a year to live, how much that changes their perspective, that there's things that they feel that they have to get done, that they want to make sure is made right, that is settled, that is done properly, that they seek to restore relationships that have been broken. They seek to really live life to the fullest. And that's sometimes what we think of it, that we go through life and we have a choice whether to just kind of wait until we pass from this life, or to actually spend our life living what God wants us to do. He has called us to have an abundant life, a life that is full, a life that is profitable, a life that is fruitful to Him. And so we want to not just remain in a life where we exist, but a life where we prevail, where we are truly living in the light of the gospel and the power of the Lord. And secondly, we want to realize that we need to have a sense of urgency, because we cannot predict how long a friend or an acquaintance or a loved one might live. That there might be someone that we want to help, or someone we see that they have a need, maybe someone we know isn't saved and we want to see them saved. And the Lord might be speaking to us, well, you need to talk with them, you need to try to minister to them. But it can be so easy that we can put it off. But the fact is we don't know how long they have either. And they might pass from this life quite quickly. Things can happen so suddenly that a person can be in perfect health, and then suddenly that they have an accident or they come down with a disease and they can pass from this life. And so we want to realize that the time we have is a precious thing and that it's not something to delay, not only for our sake, but for the sake of others that we know. And it is something also we realize, a sense of urgency, that we do not know the day or the hour in which the Son of Man cometh, that things can happen and we don't know exactly how everything will come together in the times of the end, but we realize that it can come together quite quickly, and so we need to be faithful in the time that we have. Jesus said in John 9 and verse 4, says, "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." And so it is that thought that we need to be faithful in the time that we have, that the Lord tells us that we need to be watching for His coming, that He does not want to find us sleeping. He does not want us to be ashamed at His coming, but to be diligent in the Lord's work and to be faithful in serving Him. And we see in 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, and this is a portion where it speaks of the scoffers who said, "Well, when is the Lord coming?" They think that everything has been going the same as it was since creation, and they think it'll continue to do so. We see 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless." And it is that thought that we're looking for that blessed hope. We're awaiting His return. It is such that we need to be diligent, that we may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless, that He would find us faithful, that we would be good stewards of the grace of God that He has given unto us. So we see that we need to get a sense of urgency as Christians, not only because we don't know how short our time is, but we want to realize that there is so much to be done in the short time that we have. We remember in Joshua 13, verse 1, God said to Joshua, He said, "Behold, thou art old and stricken in years, and yet there remaineth much land to be possessed." That it was a thought that even though he did not have that much time, that there was still much to be done. And we think of that in our own lives spiritually, that we think that there is much land for us to be possessed. There is much to do in that time. We think of the Lord Jesus when He was on this earth, that His ministry was only 3 years long. That how much that He had to cram in that time of bringing disciples in, of training them to be prepared to lead the early church as it grew, that there was much to be done in that time, much to teach them. And yet he accomplished that. And it's the thought that we have as well, that there is much to be done. We think in our own lives when we realize that we're to be conformed to Christ's image, and we see where we are now, that we realize, well, there's much that I need to grow in, much that I need to learn from. And so we want to be faithful in that. And we think as parents specifically of the time we have of training our children, that sometimes we think, well, we've got 18 years, that's a lot of time to work with, but we realize that the time we spend with them is so precious, especially in the formative years, that if we squander that time, it will be to their detriment. And it is something that we need to use that time very wisely, because we realize that the time we squander with our children is the time that the world and the devil and even their own sin nature has its ability to gain a hold and an influence upon them. And so we want to use that time carefully, that we want to be diligent in teaching them and training them, that it's not something that can wait, but it is something that we need to be faithful in from day to day. And so we realize from what the passage said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We realize that now is the accepted time for lost men to come to Christ. Before they pass from this life, before any more harm is done by sin in their lives and in the lives of the generations to follow, of their families, that it is something that we pray that as we witness to others, and that we could show to them that it is not something to put off, it is not something to just say some more convenient day I might come to know the Lord, but that we can impress upon them that now is the accepted time, that if we don't make a decision now, that we may not have that time to make that decision in the future. And we realize that now is the accepted time for we who are saved to be serious in our walk with God. That we would be serious in praying as we ought, in living as we ought, in being witnesses as what we ought. That we realize that there are so often sins that so easily beset us as believers that we need to set them aside. We need to overcome them. That so often our flesh says, well, yeah, I'll deal with that, but I'll just deal with it tomorrow. I'll indulge with it in it one more day before I deal with it. And that is something that we realize when we procrastinate in dealing with something that the Lord is speaking to our heart on, that our usefulness is hindered, and we realize that the time that we might toy with sin is a time where we could be useful for the Lord, that we could be ministering to someone else. And so we want to deal with sin so that He can use us, so that we can be aware that if He's trying to get us to be a help to someone else, that we're have the right mindset and that we're ready to be used of Him. And we see also that now is the accepted time for making decisions, for setting our house in order, that we don't know what will come in this year. For any one of us, it could be that we would see the face of our Savior this day, this year. That I know with my pastor Gordon Ironside, that it was something that he was hoping to see the Lord's coming himself. And when he went into the hospital, it was just for kidney stones, and it was something that he figured, well, just get fixed on that, get that dealt with. But then it's like that started having other problems, and then that led to him getting pneumonia, and so he went probably sooner than he expected, but I know with him that he was ready. And that is the thought, that we want to make sure that we're living a life that the Lord is pleased with us, that there is no regrets that we would have if we were to come before Him, that we would be shown to be faithful. We would be doing the will of the Lord in the time that we have. Now, if you turn with me finally to Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, it says, "And that knowing the time, but now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, but not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." And so may the Lord help us, that we would realize that it is high time that we would awake out of our sleep, that we would cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, that we would not delay it for well, I'll do it one day, I'll do it someday, but that we would heed what Paul said, that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That as the Lord works in our heart, as He impresses upon us something through His Word, that is not something that we would delay, but that we would respond immediately, so that we would remain in close fellowship with Him, and so that we can have a part in what He wants to do in our lives, that we would live our lives to the fullest, and that we would do what He has for us to do in the time that we have. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You once again for Your Word and the challenge that it is to us, Lord. We just pray You would help us, Lord, to make the best use of the resource of time that You have given us, Lord, that we would be good stewards of it, and that we would not receive the grace of God in vain, Lord, but that we would be diligent in Your work, that You would be pleased with us, Lord, when we come before You. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you could stand with me once more, and we'll turn to hymn number 280. And sing softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, hymn 280.